Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The city of Sacramento estimates that roughly 1,000 trees have fallen since the first major storm on New Year's Day. Sacramento is known as a city of trees and is filled with a variety of decades-old trees that could not withstand the 60-mile-per-hour winds that struck the region. Those trees have crushed cars, houses, and sheds, and they've blocked roadways and caused power outages. And two Sacramento unhoused residents died outside were found with trees on top of their tents. Estimates of financial damage won't be known for weeks, but local businesses are dealing with the impact now, and residents are taking in the loss of some parks as we knew them. Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Kate Wolf, went out to one of the city's largest and most popular parks, William Land Park. The goal is really to find out more and get a better understanding on how the community is processing the intense scenes caused by the winter storms. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Vicky.
So your primary reporting here at Cap Radio is healthcare coverage. What prompted your reporting in Land Park?
So I live really close to the park, and in my walks through it, I kept seeing people marveling at the sights of all these giant trees down. There were people pulling over in the middle of the road, don't do that, to take photos and take it all in. And I've previously covered the destruction of old trees during wildfire season, and I know there's a lot of feeling. I thought it might be worth it to take a minute to talk to people about that, really check in with community health and see what the temperature is out there.
And you spoke with people who reside or just love Land Park. What were they telling you?
There was a lot of grief, a lot of shock that this could even happen. I mean, it's really a scene of devastation out there. I spoke with Jim Kessenberry, who's been living in the area for 50 years, his whole life. When I walked up to him, he was standing at the base of a giant tree at the edge of a park.
I've driven through, but this is the first time we've actually gotten out and walked around and physically felt the devastation.
You know, it's crazy. I've lived here my whole life, and I've never seen this kind of devastation. So, I don't know. How do you replace trees that are 100 years old?
And at the end there, too, you hear Jim, you know, ask, what will Land Park look like when all these trees are carted away?
I mean, you touched upon this, Kate, but exposure to nature and trees, especially in urban settings, has been shown to decrease stress, encourage exercise, promote social connectivity. I mean, many people, myself included, grow a fondness for the trees because of the benefits. You kind of have a relationship with the trees that surround you. But do we know what psychological impact downed trees can have on a person and more broadly the community?
Right. We love living here because of the trees, and they feel like a part of this community. I spoke with Christiana Boswell and her son, and they had a bit of cabin fever because they've been staying inside. They decided to get some fresh air and scope out the damage. This is what they shared.
One of his favorite climbing trees has fallen. So I'm like, we have pictures of him in there when he was like 7, you know, climbing the tree, and it's gone now. So
a lot of memories. Definitely died with those trees this storm. Wasn't expecting those to fall.
So I think that's part of mourning the area as you knew it.
Yeah. And when it comes to Land Park, it's not just a park. There are a lot of family-friendly locations, from the Sacramento Zoo to also Fairy Tale Town, which is across the street. And that's an outdoor amusement park founded in 1956, so nearly 7 decades ago, and quickly became a Land Park staple for families where children 12 and younger can play around in these storybook-themed structures and gardens. The amusement park recently received like $1.8 million for park expansion and a new Story Center building. How are they faring?
So Fairy Tale Town has had 4 trees fall, and they've had to proactively take down at least one huge redwood. They're probably going to have to take down another because it's threatening that new Story Center building, which ended up being $3 million. I got a tour from Executive Director Kevin Fagan-Smith, who told me that with more rain and wind in the forecast, it's just been an extremely stressful time.
Yeah, and it always feels like we're up against it, like we're fighting the deadline of the next storm. It's like looking around and saying, okay, what tree now is unstable that we need to get some limbs off of it or consider having the tree taken down? Because every round is a fresh set of large risk.
And they've actually had to already pay $25,000 to get trees removed. And they expect to have to pay that same amount in the coming days and weeks to deal with the impacts. So that being said, Fagan Smith does say they're going to be sure to make sure everything is safe when they reopen on Thursday, but it's going to be an evolving process.
Thursday as in tomorrow?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because we're not out of the woods yet.
Right.
And he talked about that. You know, we know that there are many trees affected by the storm, upwards of 1,000, according to the city. But we also have these majestic, historic, really massive, old and deep-rooted trees in Lamb Park, some still healthy. What happened with those trees?
Right. The big problem here is that the soil is just so saturated that strong gusts are taking these big trees down. And I'm no expert. I know you guys are going to be talking more about trees later this week. But some of the trees that fell were really old. They were really healthy, too. And they could have likely kept living. I think that's especially painful for Fairytale Town Director Fagan Smith, is seeing all these trees that could have had longer lives, that added so much to the park, that had to get taken down. Here's what he said about that.
It forces you into a zen place. It is either going to fall or it's not going to fall, and it is either going to fall on something valuable or it will fall not on something valuable, and you just have to wait, which is really an uncomfortable, kind of terrifying feeling.
And I think that that's probably a situation that a lot of people are in the area, where you're not sure which trees you should take down proactively. You're not sure which trees are healthy or not, are going to fall or not. So I think people are probably definitely wondering if their homes are fully safe.
Yeah, and it makes it challenging when making the right decision. Are you hearing about the city, about how they're going to address all of these downed trees? Because as we know, there's more rain in the forecast.
Right. I think that's what's making Lamb Park so striking. It's an area where the city is not prioritizing taking the trees out. You think of downtown, you think of Midtown. They are really working quickly to make sure that there's no danger to life and there's no, you know, public blocking of right of way. But at Lamb Park, the trees aren't really in anyone's way. And so they haven't been taking them out as quickly. I met a man named Rick Ewald. He was actually a public adjuster in the area to assess the damage on someone's house nearby. We stopped to check in on the park, and I asked him what he thought about the future of the park.
Oh, I'm sure the city will clean up this park. It's Lamb Park, okay? It's going to get a priority. And it'll, you know, I mean, Mother Nature prunes herself. She does it with fire, too.
I think Rick is giving us a good reality check there, too, that trees come down. It's not the end of the world. It is part of the natural process of things. And as you said, there is more rain in the forecast, but no more gusty winds as of right now, although we will see.
And for many people and businesses in Sacramento, the recovery process begins even in rainy weather. But there were also homes and residents who were spared from the series of atmospheric rivers, and but they're still very connected to all of the destruction and the damage that has taken place. How can residents get involved and help? What resources are available to guide those who actually want to do something?
I think there's a lot of powerlessness that people have, especially if they were spared and don't have to, you know, hustle to figure things out for themselves. But being inside, not really knowing what to do, we do have Google report analytics, and we've seen that there are a lot of people who are feeling demoralized by this storm, you know, having storm fatigue, Googling, when is the storm ending? When is winter ending? And I totally understand that feeling. There is a lot you can do, right? You can, on the neighborhood level, clear your storm drain on your street so there's not water buildup, so there's not flooding, and check in on your neighbors, and especially people who are elderly or disabled or people who are electricity dependent for life. We know those people are especially vulnerable during power outages. So just, you know, knocking on doors, making sure that your neighbors are doing okay, and saying thanks, showing appreciation for utility crews working hard to get the lights back on. More broadly, we are working on a resource guide for people to help in whatever way they can. So definitely look out for that on capradio.org.
Kate, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Vicky.
That is Cap Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf, who went out to one of the city's largest parks in Sacramento, William Land Park, to get a better understanding of the intense scenes caused by ongoing winter storms. Up next, after years of record surplus, California is projecting a budget deficit this year. We'll learn about the governor's plan to balance the shortfall. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.